Would you bow with me in prayer? Father, now fulfill your promise and in your Son, Jesus Christ, come to meet us personally and take this scriptural truth and make it truth for us as we face the obstacles, the challenges, and the problems of life for Jesus' sake. Amen. Listen to the psalmist. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou dost preserve my life. Thou dost stretch out thy hand against the wrath of my enemies. The Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. And notice the psalmist does not say, if I walk in the midst of trouble, but though I walk in the midst of trouble. That parallels the text from Jesus today when he says, in the world you have, which in the original means you have had, you do have, and you'll continue to have tribulation, trouble. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Today I want to talk about the resources our Christian faith offers to help us confront and solve problems rather than living in the myth of denying and seeking to escape difficulties. Personally, I find our Lord's promise of continued tribulation a hard pill to swallow. Intellectually, I know what he means, but practically, I rebel on the assumption that when problems continually interrupt my tranquility, they're not friends, they're intruders. And sometimes I don't understand as a Christian why I must undergo such burdens and troubles. And the natural thing, obviously, is I want to escape rather than accept tribulation as a part of reality that must be confronted and solved. Many of us will live a lifetime as Christians and never understand that Jesus says we are not designed to be problem-free. Our characters cannot grow. We cannot be carved into his image without the pressures of burdens and being overstressed and driven to the breaking point and beyond. He does promise resources, divine resources, to help us cope when we're in tribulation, to confront and solve our problems, but above all, and this is what I want us to hear this morning, to find joy in the process of problem solving. Finding joy in problem solving rather than limiting our periods of happiness to those rare times when we're problem free is to experience the abundant life that Jesus promises those of us who follow him. The abundant life is not a problem free life. The abundant life is to be able to find joy in the midst of our problems. Paul put it this way, writing to the Romans, this is Phillips, we can be full of joy here and now even in our trials and troubles. Let's take a moment and seek to make peace with these words of Jesus when he says, in the world, you're going to have trouble. The issue is not whether we are going to have trouble in the Christian life, whether or not the Christian life is a struggle, but whether we're going to seek to deny this reality and accept it or accept it as true, and allow Jesus to do what he wants to come and do, namely, come alongside of us in the form of the Comforter, and help us pay the price of confronting and solving our problems. Most of us know intellectually that indeed our times of maximum growth occur during our times of testing. Nevertheless, if we're honest, we have a built-in tendency to want to run from difficulties, escape them at all costs. Why? Because of the pain involved in solving them. Escape seems to offer a better solution than confrontation. Our society reinforces that perspective in a very gifted way. Because society teaches us that reality should be problem-free, and therefore, our culture offers everything by way of escape. Divorce, drugs, alcohol, promiscuity, all shortcuts to problem solving, but shortcuts that create a whole new set of problems to solve. Carl Jung said, neurosis is always a substitute for legitimate suffering, but the substitute becomes more painful than the problem. Dr. Peck, who I've quoted quite often in the last few months, states, "This tendency to avoid problems and emotional suffering inherent in them is the primary basis of all human mental illness." Now, Jesus attempts to help us understand that tribulation and pain are part of reality. But solving problems need not be like tooth pulling. It can be a source of joy, a process where our Christian life begins to find its meaning, or as Paul says, the time when our character is molded and shaped into his likeness. Ignoring, seeking to deny what Jesus teaches about tribulation in the world, buying into what is so sold on the marketplace today as escape theology, is to choose the bondage of repeating self-destructive behavior patterns of escape and denial. Patterns that fill us with the pain of guilt, depression, anger, illness, and frustration. Let me share three ways I've discovered that Jesus helps me accept the fact that in the world I have tribulation, but in Him I can overcome these difficulties. A first tool Jesus offers for me is the most important. This is one way He has helped me overcome the world and work towards solution regarding my problems. And namely, He's teaching me to delay gratification of my impulses for the sake of higher priorities. Jesus put it this way: "Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you." Our culture teaches the Christian, seek all the other things the world offers first, and if you ever get time, seek the kingdom wherever you can stick it in. One mechanism for confronting problems is to accept the discipline of scheduling our pain and our pleasure so that the pain comes first. People seek escape because they don't want to endure the pain of working through difficulties to the joy lying on the other side. Our society has so conditioned us that we much prefer to fly now and pay later. We want to use our credit card for immediate gratification, neglecting to remind us that the bill for pleasure inevitably comes due. Young people sometimes elect not to pay the pain of discipline for doing homework, preferring the immediate pleasure of playing around. But graduation day comes, and such persons find their options for a career limited because they chose to play now and pay later. Economists and psychologists commenting on the American mindset suggest that for the first time in decades, we are being forced to understand we cannot use inflation to finance our escape into materialism, pleasure madness, and our demands for instant gratification. The 80s confront us with hard choices caused by OPEC, the Japanese auto industry, the rise of the third world, and numerous other realities that are changing our lifestyle as Americans. Studies indicate many are unwilling to accept less, so that beginning about 1974, after the oil embargo, we began to borrow more so we could keep up with that lifestyle and avoid delaying gratification. Now, obviously, this pulpit is not the place to discuss economic theory, but to illustrate a truth from Jesus about overcoming the world, about overcoming difficulties rather than running away from them, be they economic struggles, frustration in marriage, discontentment at school or work. Namely, and this, if you take nothing else home with you today, I hope you'll underline this: there are no instant solutions or shortcuts for working through problems. When Jesus says, "Seek first the kingdom and all these other things will be added unto you," perhaps I could put it this way about what He means: stop using the escape mechanisms of lust, greed, sin to escape your problems. They won't work. Play life's game according to God's rules, and in time, all of the pleasure and fulfillment shortcuts offered temporarily will be yours permanently, with no balloon payment of divine judgment at the end. Delaying gratification, you see, helps us reject the mentality of the beer commercial, "I only have one life to live, I might as well indulge myself to the hilt as I pass by." The problem with that philosophy is we eat, drink, and be merry on the premise we're going to die tomorrow, and tomorrow comes and we're not dead, but we live to pay the piper. And that's tough. So when we choose to pay first and fly later, no bills arrive after the fun is done. So the first tool from Jesus is delay gratification if you want to solve your problems. A second tool for confronting and solving problems, thus overcoming the world, is a decision on our part to accept personal responsibility for a solution to some of the problems we're in. To refrain from blaming someone or something else for our dilemma. And to refuse to expect someone or something else to solve the problem for us. A mindset that in many ways is strangling America today. Jesus promises that he is a friend who will stand by our side to assist us in fulfilling our responsibility for a problem. The real challenge for us is to make good choices about that for which we're responsible. One psychiatrist says the problem of distinguishing what we are and what we're not responsible for in this life is one of the great problems of human existence. Now, I believe scriptures give us valuable help in discovering things for which we're responsible. For example, when we ask, should I stay married? Society says, only if you're fulfilled. The Bible suggests that divorce is destructive, it's a shortcut, that to remain by our commitments, no matter how tough the struggle, saves us from becoming the victims of our ever-changing feelings later, and that to stay committed is a path to permanent joy in most cases. Sometimes we struggle with the temptation of being honest or being moral. We find ourselves in a storm of temptation. And often these storms are storms we've created for ourselves by becoming intoxicated with our lusts. And we want to blame somebody for our dilemma. We want to blame our wife, our husband, our children, our boss, or whatever else. We even want to blame God. And James tells us God never tempts anyone. We tempt ourselves when we're drawn away by our own lusts. When we struggle with the tribulation of temptation, the Bible suggests then, don't blame God. Don't seek temporary escape by feeding your lusts. But accept personal responsibility for your struggle and return to the discipline of obedience. Put our will back into the control of our lusts. Confess our sin to God and allow the Holy Spirit to give us a new beginning. Refusing to accept responsibility for struggles that are of our own making is to invite them to stay with us all of our lives. Some time ago at a couples conference, I shared with them what I feel is biblical wisdom. Some people, Christian people, remain tempted with divorce throughout their marriage. Why? Because they refuse to make one decision that closes the escape hatch by saying, whatever solution we're going to find to our problems, divorce won't be one of them. We will take responsibility to make this marriage work rather than seek escape. A third tool by which we overcome the world and its difficulties is to dedicate ourselves to truth at all costs. In these days of changing ethics, it is vitally important that we, the people of God, hold to our commitment of following the roadmap of Scripture truth through this ever-changing maze of our society's values, or we're going to find ourselves stumbling and falling in the darkness. Scripture helps us make those tough decisions about what things should change for our spiritual growth and what aspects of our lives and behavior are not negotiable for change, even if the whole world should consider us to be out of step. Christians cannot follow public opinion polls into decisions of what is right and wrong. We are committed to follow Jesus Christ, who claims, I am the truth. Dedicating ourselves to truth when confronting the tribulations of life, when they are thrown at us, prevents us from falling into the delusion of shortcut solutions. And you and I know people who have bought into society's truth when they were under temptation and pressure, when they followed their feelings rather than their commitment to truth, and they pulled the plug on their lives because they became intoxicated with sin, only to live to gnash their teeth when payment comes due. A postscript. Is it ever possible to become free from the emotional pain involved in confronting and solving the problems of living? And perhaps the answer is yes and no. The answer is yes, in that once we accept problems as inevitable, then difficulties become part of life rather than strangers. Yes, also, because as we use these tools of discipline, Jesus suggests, we become better able to cope with our struggles. Struggles that present huge obstacles for a child and cause it great pain may be of no consequence to an adult. But the answer is no, in that the world will always be hostile to the witness of a real Christian. Jesus said, "They hated me, they're going to hate you. We will suffer for our faith in this world till Jesus comes. You and I will be tempted and tested by our adversary all of our lives." So if your goal is to avoid pain and escape suffering, don't buy into Christianity and don't listen to anybody who promises Christianity will give you such an escape. Whatever they're offering, it's not Christianity. Allowing Jesus to come by our side as we confront and solve problems will assure us of a life filled with adventure, meaning, joy, and victory. And as Paul says in Romans, after the suffering comes a character that's molded after the image of Jesus Christ. And for one preacher, I opt for that treasure more than anything else in the world. And we offer that in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to ask you to stand, and we'll sing 345, the first and last verses of "Crown Him with Many Crowns."